So with all long suffering, again, these things have to be done. Now it's interesting, we're going to see a little change here, but if we are to be long suffering, it's a reflection that what God is long suffering. It's just a fruit and grace of the Lord, of the Spirit working something in us. And we see this in Romans chapter 2. Verses 4 and 5, in dealing with the wicked, he said, "Do you despise the riches of his goodness, his forbearance, and long suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God is meant to lead you to repentance? But in accordance with the hardness and of your stubborn heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and the revelation of the righteous judgment of God." So he's telling Timothy, when you preach, whether you're teaching and exhorting Christians or sinners or backsliders, you are simply doing what God himself is doing. He's offering them opportunity to consider what they're doing, where they've regressed, and to straighten themselves out. But ultimately, with the all teaching, the sound truth is, but one day, God's grace and long-suffering will come to an end. He will not extend grace and patience. And when the person stands before him in judgment and finds himself not in Christ Jesus or backslidden and fallen away, he will be consigned to hell, the utter contempt of God, total disregard. No grace, no mercy. God will not even give him another thought. The continual wrath of God, and that's the truth of his word. But until the person's dead, until the person's blasphemed the Spirit, God's general will is still, it's not his will that any perish. He said, "I find no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but they turn and live." So that is the general will of God. It was while we were enemies that he sent his Son to die for us, again showing his patience with mankind, and that he is in no hurry, that ultimately everything will be brought into judgment in its time, and ultimately no one gets away with anything. And to those who've been given more grace, their judgment will be greater. We will see the justice and holiness of God ultimately will come out, and everyone will get what they get, are supposed to get. And it will be done by a just God. When grace has run its course, and there's no more time for grace, then judgment and holiness shall come into play. And so this is what he's saying. But in general, all of these acts are to be done with long suffering, because God, is giving people time to consider what they've done or what they're doing, and he's giving them opportunity. We see him even with the wicked woman Jezebel in Revelation. He gives us a hint. He said, "I gave her space to repent, but she chooses not to." And then notice the consequence. "Therefore, I will destroy her and her children." And notice the consequence. I extended grace. I waited. I had them reveal to her what she was and what she was doing that I did not like, but she did not respond. And then he gives the opposite side. When the long suffering runs its course, he says, "Then I will destroy her." And what will be her end? Eternal damnation. See, that's the other side, and that's teaching. See, there is the doctrine of hell. There is the doctrine of the wrath of God. There is the doctrine of recompense and holiness coming into play, because God is not changed. He's never changed. See, that's what we have to keep reminding people and ourselves, that heaven and earth may change and be altered, but the Word of God will endure forever. He's as good as his word. His scripture says he honors his word above all of his names. All of his names simply explain a side of God. When he uses certain terms to explain himself, they're only explaining a portion of what he is. It's a facet. They're only showing a facet. He says, "I, the Lord, am a jealous God." Well, that's not all he is. But he's saying, "But there is a side of me." And then he says, "And I am the gracious one." But that is not all he is. He says, I am also a God of judgment. You're by no means clearing the guilty, visiting their sins upon them. But that is not all he is, you know. But when he says, I honor my word above all my name, because his word describes all that he is and all that we need to know about him as a whole. And he's saying, when you know and rightly handle, you're seeing the whole diamond then. You're seeing what I'm going to let you see about me. Everything that God wants us to see about him has been revealed in Jesus Christ through his word, and the Holy Spirit can only explain it and reveal it. But he's saying that's all you need to know. So that's what he's saying when he's talking about all long-suffering and all teaching, that we cannot leave out what we do not like or what does not appeal to us, because we are not told to judge God. We are told to reveal his word and what he says about himself. And whether people like this or not, this is what must be done. Verse 3, you've heard it many times. For the time will come. I'm telling you, we're there. We're there now. We're there a lot further than we was when Paul wrote this. He wrote this roughly 1,900 years ago or so. We're a lot further on the other end now. So we can almost say with almost assurance the time has come. Because overall, if you can discern the times, and if you can understand where we're at, you'll see that's where we're at. To a great overall, we are as Sardis Laodicean age to a great degree, you know, that claims to be Christian. And so what is he saying? It will come when they will not endure sound or true teaching. Now, it enters the verse before, we are to have all long-suffering because God is long-suffering. But notice they are not long-suffering with him. As he keeps giving them the truth and sending them ministers and warning and disturbing their conscience, they're not listening. They're not bearing with God, and God has bore long with them. What are they doing then? They are storing up wrath. They are misusing the grace of God, and there's a consequence and a great judgment going to come. But he says, what will happen? And again, we're talking about people in general that claim to be Christians. This is the context. He's talking about, remember, he's previously talked about those who pervert scripture, claim to be Christians. So in this context, we're talking about professing Christianity now, the great house with the vessels of honor and dishonor. He basically, in general, isn't talking about the whole world. He's talking about something different here, and we will see it as it unfolds. For the time come where they will not endure sound teaching, true teaching. But according to their own desires, there's a key there, their own desires, because they have itching ears, they're looking for something else, they will heap to themselves teachers. They're saying, we don't want those who teach the truth. We want our own kind. But notice, these are professing religious Christians. This is who he's talking to, that will not endure. It means to some degree they've been given sound teaching at some level, and they have said, I don't want this. So he's not talking about people who have not heard the gospel or hasn't heard anything. He's talking about a lot of people that you and I know, and a lot of denominations and a lot of religious things going on. They're religious people, okay? But notice what he says, they will not endure. They will not suffer the word of God. They will not put up with it. It's what it means. Shall we see the illustration? Same thing happened under the old. You can hold your place. Isaiah chapter 30. Verses 9 through 11. For this is a rebellious people. It means they come against God and his word. Lying children. Why are they lying? Today they say, Lord, Lord. But they do not obey him. Have a form of godliness, but their lifestyle is a lie. Okay? Lying children. Children who will not hear the word of the Lord. That's what the law of the Lord says. They will not hear it. It means they won't put up with it. Not that it wasn't there. Not that they knew what it required. They simply did not want it. And they say to the seers, do not see. And they say to the prophets, Do not prophesy to us right things. Do not tell us true doctrine. Do not tell us true teaching. Who are they talking to? The anointed minister. The seer was the means of how the prophet got his revelation. He was given visions and dreams. He was given special revelation at special times, which was considered God's special grace at times, even to a rebellious people. He said, even to the rebellious, he would do this. He said, I will multiply visions and dreams in Hosea. And for all of this, they will not hear him. See, that's why he rejected Israel. He said, I have tested them 10 times and showed them all my signs and wonders that I did in Egypt. And they have continuously rebelled. Therefore, I swear in my wrath that they will not enter the land. God's long-suffering came to an end and his grace was withdrawn because of their continual rejection and saying, I don't want to hear the word of the Lord and I don't want to do it. I want to do what I want to do. And yet call themselves the people of God. See, that was the big lie. That's why he calls them lying children. So today they will not put up with any sound teacher or minister who teaches the word of God. If it's hard, if it reproves them, if it corrects them, if it exposes their sin, if it's negative, if it's narrow, well, we don't put up with this. We have our own special kind of teachers we want. That's what this is. They haven't changed. Human nature hasn't changed. You know why? Because the devil hasn't changed either. God has never changed. The devil's never changed. And human nature, apart from God's grace, is the same. It's corrupt. And it draws itself right back to the devil and its way of doing things. That's the way he is. And notice what he says. What do they also say? Not only do not tell us what is right. We don't want to hear sound teaching. That's what he says. But notice what they also say. Speak to us smooth things. Prophesy lies. Isn't it astounding? Well, see, that's what happens. That's what they're saying. See, they're not coming right out saying, God, give me a lie. No, what they're saying is, that they don't understand is, oh, that's too hard, I don't want that. But I like this teacher, because no matter what I do, he tells me God loves me unconditionally. And that person believes that. And they don't believe, yeah, but God's goodwill toward you will still send you to hell. Is that the kind of unconditional love that you really think you're being given? It's not. See, they've been lied to. They've been told, well, God understands, and he knows I'm busy. You're caught up in the cares of this life and the pleasures of this world, but God understands. And the minister says, God understands, especially when you give him more money and build him a bigger house and get a bigger church. He knows God understands. See, and so everybody appeases each other. So this is what it means is they are saying this. When you reject the truth, you don't verbally say, I want the lie, God. God says that's what you're getting, and that's what you're going to respond to, because your corrupt nature is going to be bent that way. Once you twist the truth, you can only see the lie. See, that's the danger of spiritual things. But he says, prophesy lies to us. Get out of the way. Turn aside from the path. Cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. You're too narrow-minded. You're too spiritually minded. You're too critical and hard. Now, you just stay away from us. We have our little church, and we like the way things are, and we're alive, and we got all of this witnessing programs we're doing, and we support all of this, and we got great music, and we got all this stuff going on, and you just stay away, and don't you come here and interfere with this. You know, you're just too hard, and God isn't that way. And God knows we're all sinners, and it's all grace, and he knows we have to live this way because we're just human. So they pervert the word of God to sanction and condone their sins. But these are the people who will weep and gnash their teeth for eternity in the horrors of hell, weeping and gnashing over the miseries when they know the truth, and it's too late. See, that's the horror. God will get out of the way. And he said, and I will cease from before them. You know, he did it at Samuel's time. The people were wicked, and the priests were wicked, and the sons of the priests were wicked, and the prophets were liars. And the scripture says, and the vision of the Lord, the revelation of the Lord was rare. He punished them by withdrawing the truth. Amos says the same thing. I will send them a famine of the hearing. And not only if they have the truth, I will not open their understanding. The Holy Spirit won't let them see it. They might get it up in their brain, but it won't affect them. Because I won't let it affect them. Because they're wicked. And they will run to and fro seeking the truth. But see the truth on their terms. The truth that they want to be selective. But
But he said, but they will never understand. See, the Holy Spirit only gives understanding to the righteous and to those who obey him. He sends a lying spirit to the others. He allows them to be given over. So again, the people and human nature is not changed. They will not put up with the word of the Lord if the word of the Lord does not suit them. See, they have done something. They have decided to be the judge of these matters. We will pick and choose what we like, not realizing God says, but I'm the one who will call you into account. And my word will judge you, not your opinion or what you like about my word. You know, that's why they will weep and gnash in anguish. See, that's the part of hell that's going to be horrible, that the wicked will know he gets what he deserves. And he will know the truth. The flames of hell will enlighten him. And his conscience will be so clear, he will know the difference. And he'll know it's too late. That's the horror of this place called hell. And see, the day they don't want you preaching that, you scare people. You know, it's best to scare people. You know, God scared the wicked. And if he didn't intend to scare him, he says, still the truth. You're going to spend eternity in a place of torment if I come and you're wicked. So he don't mince no words. Jesus spoke much more on heaven than he did, on hell than he did heaven. So he hasn't changed. Same sweet Jesus is going to consign people to hell and be the judge. See, they forget this. Okay, notice what he says. Not only will something happen, the time will come they will not put up with sound teaching. Ultimately, at the very near the very end of the age, we will see 2 Thessalonians. This is the reason. 2 Thessalonians 2:3, let no one deceive you by any means. How often that's spoken by the apostles. Don't let people lie to you. That day will not come, the day of the Lord, unless there be a falling away first. It's going to be a falling away from true Christianity. We ain't talking about a profession of Christianity. We ain't talking about religion. He's saying even those who are saved and the ones who are on the narrow and the difficult way, there's going to be a falling away then. That's how dark the times are going to get toward the end. As the days of Noah and Lot. You don't hear nothing in Scripture about great revival. You hear about great darkness coming. And he says that there will be a falling away. Why are they falling away? Again, we go back to it because they will not endure sound teaching. They will not put up with the word of the Lord. That's why they're going to fall away. They're going to go back to the world way of living, but they want to keep enough religion to lie to themselves and think they're okay with God. And there's a very multitude that are going to say, Lord, Lord, don't we do all these good things? And he says, you wicked, you lawless. He called them lawless. You do not do the will of my Father. But we did this for you and we did that. And he's going to say, oh, you did as you pleased, but that wasn't my will. You served me with will worship. You decided you served me the way you want to, but it was unacceptable. You couldn't pick and choose. You couldn't decide what you wanted to do and what you didn't want to do. You had to listen to my whole counsel, or you shouldn't have come. Because I told you from the beginning, if you do not forsake all, yea, your own life. You cannot be my disciple. You can't pick and choose what you will obey and what you will not obey. And see, the day they're told they can. God will accept them on their terms. He will not. They will not endure true teaching, but according to their own desires. Notice the key here. I'll give you a little secret here. The spiritual desire only what is righteous and good, if it's the new man working. Delight yourself in the Lord. He will give you the desires, but the righteous only delight in goodness. They will not desire selfish things. See, that scripture has been so perverted. They think, well, if I'm happy with God, then I can get everything I wanted. No, you don't see the selfish spirit there. According to their own desires. You know, you can translate this in practical terms. When the Holy Spirit's desires are not there, and the new man's desires are not there, your own desires can be translated as lust and coveting. And they're sins that send people to hell. There is no distinction. When your desires replace God's desires or the Spirit's desires, you're already in sin. Everything you desire and lust after is evil as far as God is concerned. The 10th commandment, thou shalt not covet. And why? Paul said a covetous person is an idolater. If you're seeking your own happiness in your own way, then God says your God is you. But I'm not. And that's why Paul warned, all covetousness not be named once among you. Don't be seeking. And see, the teachers today are telling you God wants to make you happy and give you everything you want. And Scripture don't teach this. Scripture teaches you go onto the cross and you'll give up a lot of things that you want to follow me. Because you're a soldier. You know, and if you want to do as you please and you want to pamper yourself and live for yourself, you're only going to deceive yourself, because you're going to drop dead and go to hell. And you're going to say, Lord, Lord, like many, and I did this and I did that, and he's going to say, so what? See, that's going to be the horror for many people, because they're going to try to mix the two. And Jesus already said it can't be done. I'm either your Lord or you're the Lord. You know, but it can't be both. That was a great sin of Lucifer. I will. Five times he said, I will. He didn't say, if God wills. He said, I will. That's why James says all this boasting is evil, saying, I'm going to do this, and I usually say, if the Lord wills, because his will is to take precedent over your will. It should be brought under subjection. Okay, we see this. Hold your place. James, their own desires. He's talking about professing Christians and backslidden Christians. We know this one well. James 4. Let's just go through 2 to 4. You lust, which means covet and desire. You have not. You murder and covet and cannot have, because you fight in war. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive, because you ask with the wrong motive, that you may spend it on your own pleasures, your own desires. See, that's what he's talking about. Verse 1 says, you desire for pleasure, that war is in your members. It's in your old nature. It's the selfish nature. It's called the old man. It has what it wants to do. It's self-centered. You know, we have always said, in the center of sin is always I. It's never changed. And then he proceeds to say, you're an adulterer and an adulteress. He's talking to those who profess to be Christians. He says, do you not know? Have you been deceived? That friendship with this world, you make yourself an enemy of God. He's already telling them what's happened to you. James called them sinners and double-minded. He told them to repent and cleanse the hand. He said, don't rejoice. You have nothing to rejoice about. You're under God's wrath and judgment. You've turned away from God and become his enemy. That was James' warning to those who covet and desire their own things. So what are they going to do? Because they have their own desires. And they have itching ears. That means they desire certain things they want and certain things they want to hear. They've got to find the teachers to tell them this, to reaffirm, they call it confirmation. You've heard that so often. They want them to confirm. See, that's what they wanted the false prophets to do, and they did it. They wanted them, and God says they confirmed the people in a lie. Remember, they tried to get Micaiah to do this. They said, all the prophets are saying that Ahab's going to have the victory. Now, you ought to say the same thing. We're trying to bribe him right away. You know? And it's interesting, out of mockery, he said the same thing, but the king was wise to it. He said, how often have I told you? You only tell me what the Lord tells you. He knew he was mocking him. Then he told him, you're going to be killed. And all the other prophets didn't like this, and the chief of them came over and slapped him on the face. And said, when did the Spirit of the Lord leave me to go to you? He was saying, how can this be God, since we are speaking by God? And we're the number. We're 400 and some. We must be right. How often we heard that? How often? Well, he's got 2,000 people in his church. He must be right. You've only got 5 listening to you. Like, that proves something. I always tell people, remember, it was 250 Spirit-filled leaders that God burned to death because Moses was right and they were wrong. Ha, 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 ha. What does that prove? Truth's the truth, not numbers. See? And see, that's what people want to hear. See? They think if we get enough and we say enough, it'll make it the truth. No. So he slaps Micaiah and says, when did the Spirit leave me? Well, he never had Spirit. And Micaiah answered and says, you'll know. He says, you will know when you flee from room to room. He meant, y'all are all saying the king's going to come back victorious. I'm telling you the king's going to be died because God's determined to kill him. And when he comes back, the people will recognize you are a false prophet. And when you try to hide from them, they're going to search you out and drag you out and stone you to death. He says, then you'll know who was right. You'll know it wasn't the majority. You know, see, it hasn't changed. So majority does not make things right. I have people say, if the majority's right, well, the majority of people going to hell. How can they be right? When the way is narrow and few there be that find it, how can these people be right? Don't be looking at multitudes. You better look at the Word of God. Don't be looking at what they do. Sardis said they had a name, they're alive, and Jesus said, you're dead. Isn't that interesting? Laodice says that we're rich and have need of nothing. We've got everything going for us. And he says, you're naked and blind and do not know it. And you make me so sick to my stomach, I'm going to vomit you out. They were deceived. Both of them were deceived and believed the lie. But they were still saying, Lord, Lord, and believed they were serving God. So this is what happens to these people. What does it say? And it says, they will heap to themselves teachers that tell them what they want to hear, and they pay them well to do this. See? That's what they want them to do. They're called hirelings. They're hired to tell the people what they want. See, they're not called by God. They're hired by the people. You know, and they want Balaam's reward. They want to be paid for this. Even Balaam wanted to be paid for false prophecy, and God wouldn't even let him falsely prophesy. Just to rebuke the king and Balaam. That's why the angel came and showed him as the Lord and showed him a sword and says, you'll only speak what I tell you. And Balaam said, yes, sir. He knew he wasn't going to prophesy a lie because he knew the Lord would kill him. But he wanted to, and he wanted the money. He was just overwhelmed by God's fear, wasn't he? And later on, he lied to and counseled them anyway and let them, told them how to defeat Israel. And when Joshua and them went into the land, they killed him. Because he was corrupt and covetous. He wanted money. He wanted to be a hireling, and he became one. He was a well-paid hireling. It cost him his soul and eternity. Okay, so he tells us in verse 4, and they will turn their ears away from the truth. Who? The people. What will they do? They will hear the truth to some degree, or they will have the truth. They will either be professing Christians that know enough of the Bible, but they're not following the Lord, never were. That's many people. Or they'll be true Christians that didn't last too long and went back to the world, but they stayed with religion. They were the hypocrites and the lukewarm in the world, but they were still religious. But it says something happened. They turned their ears away from the truth. They stopped hearing the Word of God or what God said and decided to hear what they wanted to hear. But what did they do? They turned. They did the opposite of what God requires. They repented the wrong way. Repentance means to turn to the Lord. Well, they had him, or they had enough truth about him, and they turned away from him. They said, we don't want this. You know? And not only that, we got enough teachers to tell us that we can get what we want. And we pay them well, and they'll do this. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned unto fables or to lies. Notice there is no in-between. Initially, they will have knowledge of what they're doing, but eventually God will give them over to spirits, and they will believe the lie and won't know the difference. But see, God never turns people over to lying spirits. He never hardens people until they do him first. So that's the response that he does to them. That's what I did to Ahab. Who will go and deceive him for me? He'd already sent the prophets enough to him. Then he wasn't even capable of understanding when the prophet stood in front of him and told him that God was going to have him killed. He was not capable of comprehending this. Isn't it astounding when he was told directly what God was going to do to him? And God had already said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to send a lion spirit in the mouth of your prophets. And he still didn't want to believe it. And said, put him in prison until I get back. See, he told you he did not believe what he said. And yet he was told the truth. And he was killed. See, that's what happens. What happens? It's a consequence. And we need to see that they will turn their ears from the truth. Oh, good. Okay. From truth to lies. Okay, hold your place. What happens is they don't want the truth. They're going to turn their ears from it. They're going to get the right kind of teachers. And see, that's what happens too. 2 Peter. Chapter 2, we've been there many times, verses 1 to 3. But as there were false prophets among the people, even there will be false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction, means spiritual destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. See, when they open themselves up and decide what they want, it's going to lead them into further deception. And the teachers are not only going to tell them what they want to hear, they're going to make up other things to damn them further. Deceived and deceiving. And they will both fall into the ditch. See, there's a consequence here. And by covetousness, they will exploit you with deceptive words. See, and they'll say, well, we want to prosper, and we know God wants us happy, and he wants us to have everything in this world, so we're going to get that prosperity doctor, teacher, to come over here and tell us this, you know, because we want to believe that. And then after a while, he's going to fleece them and make money off of them, and they're going to believe more lies and give more. He's going to be trained in how to get more money out of them and promise them bigger lies. And because they want to believe the lie, they're going to believe the bigger lies. It goes on. Instead of growing in grace, they're going to grow in deception. It's a continual thing that goes on. So he's telling us what happens when you want false teachers. You don't limit what they can do to you, and you don't say, well, I've had enough. No, the process and the poison has begun its work. It's like Proverbs says, sin is like a cord that binds. See, it wraps around you, and when it only goes a few times, you might be able to pop it loose. So that's nothing. As it slowly keeps wounding and wounding, but it comes a time you can't get loose no more, and it keeps wounding. Then you're bound. You can't break loose. It holds you. And see, sin is a master, and they don't understand that. The consequences. Titus chapter 1, he was told to reprove Timothy and rebuke, because do it as much as you can, because there'll come a time as a whole they're not going to put up with this. And notice, you'll see again similar consequences. Titus 1, verses 9 to 11. Hold fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound true teaching to exhort and convict those who contradict the word. False teachers and Christians who get into error. He's saying this is what the minister and the pastor, similar to what he was telling Timothy to do. For there are many rebellious, insubordinate, idle talkers and deceivers, especially among the circumcision. Today we can say there are many rebellious against God's word, idle talkers, deceptive, especially among churchgoers and pastors and those who come out of seminaries. That the majority of professing ministers today are ministers of the devil. They're not ministers of God. They're false. See, back then it was the Judaizers and the Jews perverting the truth. Today it's the professing Christian minister, the hireling, who's paid well to lie to the people and tell them the word don't mean the word anymore. You know, it's many interpretations, and we're going to tell you the one that you like. And he says, whose mouths must be stopped, who deceive whole households, teaching things which they ought not to do for the sake of money. See, that's a big indictment against the prosperity teachers. They're ministers of the devil. I have minced no words with it. Prosperity doctrine, materialism, monetarism, and making an emphasis on this all the time, give to get. This is a doctrine of the devil, and it's covetousness, and it's idolatry. Paul called it what it was. And they're liars, and they're damning people's souls with materialism and things of this world, and they will not escape the judgment of hell, neither the teacher nor those who listen to them. We see then that when they turn their ears to lies, what happens? They become like sawdust. They believe they're alive and Christians, and they're not. So they believe the lie. And Jesus already said they were spiritually dead. He said the same to Laodicea. You say you have need of nothing. You're spiritual. You're churchy. He says you're naked and blind. Don't know it. Make me so sick. I'm vomiting you out, so you won't be a part of me at all anymore. The people who said, Lord, Lord, at the great judgment, have not we done many things? And he says, you're cursed of my Father into everlasting hell. But they gave lip service. So we're seeing what sin does. It's a deceiver. Okay, 2 Timothy. Back up a little bit. Look at chapter 2, verse 7. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. We can say the mystery of sin is already doing its job. What does it do? It deceives. It hardens. No matter how smart you are, no matter what you know about God, it's a spiritual thing that happens. People can quote scripture back and forth and go to hell and not know they're lost. See, that's what sin does to a person. And see, we see what happens. Verse 10 and 11, we read often, with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth. They would not endure sound teaching, that they might be saved, and that they might be kept saved. And for this reason, God will send them a strong lie. How's he going to do this? He sends them the false teachers and the lying spirit. See, that's the consequence of God's providential judgment. See, it doesn't matter. He indirectly or directly sends them. He's the one who's behind it. He uses the devil for his own purposes. That's his right. He said, I'll do it. He said, I'll send them lying shepherds after their own heart. No good for the shepherd. God can use wicked people when it suits him. He's surely going to. And for this reason, God will send them a strong lie that they should believe the lie. See, the consequence of saying, I don't want the truth, that they may be condemned, who do not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. They loved their covetousness, they loved their money, they loved their own desires, and they would not be reproved, and they would not listen to the truth. And God said, send them a lying spirit, they'll believe it. And that's what he said about Ahab, didn't he? Who will go and cause him to fall for me? And the angels came up with this and that, but a spirit came forth. It was a demonic spirit. He said, I'll cause him to fall. And the Lord said, how shall you do this? I shall be a lying spirit in the mouth of all of his prophets. And God says, go, you'll succeed. It was God's command for him to go. He uses the devil, and he still does when it suits his purpose. When you don't listen to the spirit of truth, God says, then I've got demons, I'll let you listen to them. It ain't just a consequence. At times, it's God's order. That's the punishment on the sinner, is to be given over to lies and judgment. For the God of this world hath blinded them, lest they should see. Twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Okay, so what do we see? The mystery of sin is already working. I will show you how it's working. I'll give you one scripture. If you don't know any other one, if you want to know how the mystery of sin works and the mystery of lawlessness, I'll give you its principle. Hebrews chapter 3. Mystery means for them. It ain't for us. It's been revealed. We've been given the secrets to the kingdom. Hebrews chapter 3, look at verse 12 and 13. Beloved, beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of disobedience. That's what unbelief is, in departing from the living God. You want to go your own way? You want your own desires? You want to seek your own pleasures, like James says? Then he says you have an evil heart, and it will cause you to depart from God. But exhort one another daily. See, that's what Timothy's told you. You better warn them. You better admonish them while it is today. Lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. See, it's the mystery of iniquity. It has the ability to pervert you spiritually. Don't matter how smart you are. Don't matter how clever you are. Saul was the anointed of the Lord, and he was used to the Lord speaking to him in dreams and visions. And God spoke to him no more and sent a lion spirit to him. He killed certain prophets and kings that were once anointed. See? Because their lives of sin deceived them. David thought he could get away with the sin and thought he'd covered it up pretty well until Nathan come along and says, you're the man. See? It deceived him. He thought somehow he could murder and commit adultery and get away with it, and that nobody would find out. He lied to him, and he was the anointed of the Lord. That's why he could pray later, Lord, take not your spirit from me. He started to see the consequences. If I was so deceived, and that God let this go on several months before he revealed it, he must have really thought, oh, it's all done now. And not only did I kill her husband and got him out of the way, I got the woman as my wife now, and her child will be mine. He deceived himself. And God took the child and punished him and said, the sword will never depart from your house, and I will do the same thing against you in broad daylight. 20 years later, God has his own son sleep with his concubines and has a man curse him and throw rocks at him. That's why he wouldn't let his men take his head off. He said, perhaps God sent him. He understood part of the punishment. But see, he was deceived at the time. He thought he could hide from God and get away with it. And he had his own personal prophet. And God hadn't said nothing. See, people think that they're getting away with something. Uh-uh. Sin lies to people. It deceives them. It tells them things that aren't true. You know? Because its aim is to destroy them and cut them off totally from God. And it succeeds. And notice what it says. Lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. When you're hardened toward God and his word, then what does he do? he hardens himself toward you. He says, you don't want the truth, then I will send you a lion shepherd and let you believe him. I'll do to you what I did to Ahab. I'll do to you what I did to Saul. I'll do to you what I did to the children of Israel. Well, didn't Paul say that? He said, all of these things happened to them as examples that, well, God will do this to you. See, people don't believe that today. He hasn't changed. He says, they're written that what will happen to you if you do these things. He says, as Christ sent serpents and destroyed them, he'll destroy you. Isn't it astounding? He's changed. He says, that's why they were written. That you shouldn't lust after evil things, because God will deal with you the same way. You will not play with God and fool him. He will fool you. Okay, let's go on. 4:5. Oh, I'm going to move fast now. 4:5. But you, be watchful in all things. He's speaking to Timothy now. We'll spend the last minutes. We'll continue next week. Be watchful. Isn't it astounding he uses this word, hold your place? First Peter chapter 5, 8 and 9. Be sober, be vigilant. It means be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in your faith. He's telling Timothy, be watchful. There's going to be many. You've got to be watchful of how you present the gospel, but you've got to be watchful also for yourself and for others. Be watchful. People don't hear that much today. They don't like it. Revelation chapter 3. Talking to Sardis even. And those, notice what he says in verse 3. Remember how you have received and heard, and hold fast and repent. Those who thought they were alive that were dead. Therefore, if you will not watch, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you. See, that's what deceiving and sin does. It takes you to the place where you so presume on God's grace, but he cuts you off in your sin. Shall I give you one more, and we'll continue next week? Matthew chapter 24. Verse 48 through 51. But if that evil servant says in his heart, my master delays his coming, and begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunkard, he becomes like the world. Like James says, an adulterer. He becomes a friend of the world. He says the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not watching, when he is not looking. You see, he thinks he's getting away with something. And he will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the hypocrite. And there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So this is a strong word he uses from Timothy's perspective. Be watchful for your ministry and for those under you. Then he's going to proceed to tell him some other things, but let's close there. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you. That your word is always true. It tells us the truth, Lord. Whether we want to hear the truth or not is within our capability. Help us, Lord, to take your word as a whole, to take what we like, what we do not like, but to take what we need and what is useful and profitable to us spiritually. In Jesus' name, amen.